Good morning. It is now 9:05 a.m. We are here today, July 12, 2016, in the OPA hearing room, Suite 907, of the DNA building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the pre-hearing of OPA PA 16007, Cortec International Corporation versus the Department of Public Works. Presiding over the hearing are Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Llewellyn Terlahi and Andriana Kitigwa. Will Appellant Cortec please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Joyce Tang, appearing on behalf of Cortec International. With me is Mr. Ho Yun, who is the institutional representative for Cortec. Thank you.
Is he also the president of Cortec?
Chairman.
Thank you.
Will Purchasing Agency Department of Public Works please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yeah, Tom Keeler, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of Department of Public Works. No representatives are here or no agency representatives are here. They're either off island or on leave.
Thank you, Mr. Keeler.
Will interested party Guam Educational Facilities Foundation please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, I'm Philip Flores. I'm a director of the foundation. With me is Sean Easter, who's vice president of the foundation.
So you're the director?
I'm a member of the board.
Member of the board. Okay. And then Mr. Easter?
Yes, Sean Easter, Vice President of Development and Construction.
VP of
Development and Construction.
Sorry, I'm, I had drill this weekend with the guards, so my hearing isn't quite, it's still recovering. So our motion filing deadline was on the 8th of July. And the only motion filed was a motion to enlarge time, filed by the appellant. So Ms. Tang, you may give me just a brief argument on behalf of your motion.
Sure, thank you. Good morning. And we filed a motion to enlarge time because we received, with the procurement record that was filed with the OPA July 1st, several thousand pages of documents. I think there were approximately 3,779 pages consisting of four categories of documents. The categories are as follows: the procurement documents for the RFP, which was about 2,424 pages, the DPW internal emails and documents consisting of 1,066 pages, Department of Education internal emails and documents consisting of 43 pages, and DPW communications consisting of 246 pages. It took a while to review these documents. They not only contained email correspondence, but technical information, which takes a little more while to a little more time to wade through. We have since completed our review, and in order to do that, before we can determine which motions would be appropriate, we needed to complete the review. We have since completed the review, and we have determined that there are some categories of documents that were missing. While I appreciate DPW producing the voluminous documents for the procurement record, we did send a letter to Mr. Keeler and Ms. Titano yesterday identifying the letters that need to be supplemented, I think, to the procurement record. And they include an email correspondence between, a letter correspondence between Ms. Damian and Mr. Keeler, dated, attached to an email dated April 22nd, 2016, where Ms. Damian, on behalf of GEFF, took the position that the $100 million limit in the RFP cap did not apply, and that in fact, due to laws,
Okay, we're not making arguments, just please tell us what the documents, this letter from Damian to Mr. Keeler.
Mr. Keeler.
Okay,
and so,
any correspondence relating there too?
There was a letter given by the Kelville Fisher firm in that respect. There was a letter we referenced from Ms. Wompat, Senator Wompat. We have since located it in the 2,400 pages. It was a letter referring to the cap being non-applicable, the $100 million cap not being applicable.
These are all documents you say you don't have.
Right. Just clarifying what was in my letter to Ms. Titano and Mr. Keeler. The third category of documents is a summary of the leases. So we received a summary of lease terms, but did not receive any drafts or the final version of the lease, so we were asking for that. And I note that they were referred to in May 3rd and May 4th correspondence between DPW and GEFF, so they do exist, but they were not produced. Also, what we call the IDIQ contract, the contract for the construction, we received several versions of it, but we also identified 9 other drafts that were not produced. We gave them the dates those drafts were dated, and also the final version that was not produced. So there are 10 versions of it, 9 drafts, 1 final that wasn't produced. We also identified other categories of documents that we think are relevant and should be included in the procurement record. They include a GEFF cost proposal evaluation. It's called Revision 1 Paren 2, so it's attached to an email. The financing agreement that the parties will enter into prior to award. So there were no financing agreements, drafts or otherwise, produced in connection with the procurement record. Because these documents are relevant and critical to our analysis of the issues in this case, and whether to bring any motions, we would need to have that before we can make a determination. We asked for a 10 business days, but I asked that it be 10 days from the time that they produce these categories, they supplement the procurement record so that we would have adequate time to review them and file any motions.
Thank you. Mr. Keeler, in response to the motion to enlarge time, which I know was just filed this past Friday, so far.
Yeah. Well, first off, there was a second motion that the government filed, and that was in order to hear the matter on the merits, that we didn't think there was need for a hearing. The facts, I don't believe, are in dispute.
Well, let's back up a little bit.
Certainly.
So this motion, you say that you want the OPA essentially to decide the case based on the pleadings, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, but it is actually at this point in time, I think that the government has actually requested a hearing. Is that also correct?
No,
nope.
I believe they've waived.
You waived a hearing?
That's correct.
Okay. One party did.
We did.
That's correct.
All right, very well.
With regards to Ms. Tang's motion, we have no problems with the request. You know, we'll supplement the records as soon as possible. They should obviously be afforded the time to be able to review them.
So at what stage of the procurement was the purchasing agency at the time the protest was filed? Was it pre-award, post-award?
It was with the notice of intent to award.
I see. It's on the eve of award. Literally.
That's correct.
Okay. And out of these categories of documents, did you finalize a contract?
Yes, and it's been partially executed.
And how about the financing agreement?
Financing agreement is something that is in the future. The leases, the financing agreements that were referenced by Ms. Tang, those aren't going to be generated by our office. They're going to be generated by bond counsel.
I see.
So there aren't drafts that exist at this point.
I see.
There certainly was communications with regards to them.
Okay, well, I'm just verifying there's no finalized lease, for example.
No.
Likewise, there's no finalized financing agreement. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Very well.
Has a price been agreed upon, though?
Because
that's usually where we're going to go to the financing.
Well, this Correct. In general, the answer is yes. There's been a general dollar figure that's been agreed to. It's been a maximum dollar figure based on RAS means. It's difficult and impossible, actually, to have an exact dollar figure because you don't have plans and specifications, et cetera, that are in place. That's what this agreement is generating. It's going to be generating plans, specifications, et cetera, and then once the final plans and specifications have been agreed to, the parties will then revisit the price. And it can't go any higher than already has been agreed to, but based on RAS means, at that point, hopefully the price can be reduced.
So, when you say design, so this is a design build?
Yes.
Now, just for clarification, because in the preliminary, my preliminary readings, we're talking Simon Sanchez, but then we're also talking about the subsequent schools.
That's correct. The priority is Simon Sanchez School. That is going to be constructed. The remaining money will go to fund a comprehensive report, which will then prioritize the remaining schools and how those are going to be repaired and in what order.
So this contract is for a certain amount to include
yes.
all of the above?
Yes.
I mean, Simon Sanchez is the bulk of it, or substantially most of it.
Correct.
With design or evaluation of remaining schools and what the potential costs might be?
Correct.
And then should there be sufficient funds in order of priority?
That's correct.
Until you run out.
So, but generally you don't oppose the motion to enlarge time, about 10 days?
No.
Very well. And that would be
10 days from?
Well, 10 days
from
the
time.
From, yeah.
That you receive the documents. So, Mr. Flores, as an interested party, do you have any comments on the motion to enlarge time? As you're not represented by...
We're not represented by council today.
But I'll let either you or Mr. Easter respond to this.
Go ahead.
I think the key thing, we've been involved in this procurement for over a year, actually over 2 years from the initial RFP. We continue to work through financing options despite being on a hold. As you may well know, the government of Guam's financing was recently downgraded in the last week by Fitch, and it is affecting the bond markets as we're working to refinance schools right now that we currently own and manage. We have in place a potential very attractive rate of interest to the government that expires the end of September, and we must have that application in place within a month, or the government of Guam risks the potential of between market rate and the rate we have available through our through the financing we've arranged, and a potential loss of $23 million in interest. That's not money out of GEEF, that's money directly out of the government of Guam's coffers for interest payment to bondholders. So any delay will further expose the government of Guam to potential risk of increased interest cost.
Well, I understand your need for the resolution of the appeal, but please understand that under Guam procurement law, the general nature of this appeal, it is an expedited proceeding. In fact, you're before the OPA a mere, just a little under 3 weeks from the date the appeal was filed. We're going to schedule a hearing pursuant to the request for a hearing. But that hearing will probably take place, we'll discuss that in a little bit, after these documents are provided to the appellant and the parties have had the opportunity to file motions and oppose them properly. You will also be afforded that same opportunity as well. The earliest we could probably hold a hearing would be in the August timeframe, which is just next month. However, the earliest we could probably get a decision, we're looking at mid-September, at best. realistically. So those are the time frames we're working on. Typically, the OPA resolves procurement appeals within a 90-day time frame after they're filed. But also keep in mind that any party, to include you, if you're not satisfied with the opinion of the OPA, can actually request judicial review of that decision. Now, they're under a completely different timeline if that occurs, something far in excess of the 90-day period that the OPA uses. You understand that?
I understand. It's unfortunate that the government of Guam stands to lose the money.
Well, it's unfortunate, but that's the law.
Understood.
And Mr. Easter, if I could just clarify, because I saw your letter, and you're trying to get this loan through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, if I'm not mistaken. And just yesterday, I was at a hearing where the deputy director of BBMR, who formerly was with GIDA, had indicated one of the challenges that the government of Guam has with dealing with USDA is that they do not provide interim financing for the project. Theirs is a turnkey. In other words, the project would have to be built and finished before you could enter into the loan with USDA, because they do not provide the interim financing. And that's one of the reasons why yesterday in the discussion that GMH, because the question was posed by the speaker as to why the administration did not seek financing through USDA, because it was done previously on another area, and it's because of that reason is that the government of Guam or whoever ends up doing would need to find the interim financing before the final takeout. It's just like doing a construction, you know, if you're doing a construction loan, you go to somebody else and you pay a higher interest rate, and then when the construction is done, you go to USDA to get the lower rate. And so for that reason, the administration yesterday said that that was one of the reasons why they did not approach USDA. So I just want to set that for the record. So whether or not USDA will be able to provide the interim financing until the final takeout is, you know, still has to be all explored.
We do understand, and we've been working directly with USDA.
So we have one outstanding. I'm going to, Ms. Tang, grant your motion to enlarge time. However, I don't think I have enough time to grant you the luxury of 10 days after you receive the documents.
5 days.
But let's discuss realistically, Mr. Keeler and Ms. Titan, when can you provide these additional documents?
I would hope by Friday, and I would say no later than Monday.
So we're looking at this coming Friday, which would be July the 15th, and I'm going to basically give you a deadline of providing those documents by July the 15th. Of course, if you can't get them all, and later on, of course, the very nature of these large construction contracts, when, as Ms. Tang was describing, the voluminous documents, well, that's the general nature of this type of procurement, I think. All the players in this room are very familiar with the type of paperwork that goes into a project of this scale. So it's July the 15th at 5 p.m. That's the deadline to provide the additional documents. Mr. Keeler, of course, if you can't provide any, please inform Ms. Tang of which ones you can't. You will have a continuing duty, of course, to supplement the record when those documents become available to you. And that'll be it. Now,
Can I just confirm the category of documents?
Well, I'm going to leave that between you and Mr. Keeler, okay? But any of the additional documents that you've requested, and we're talking about, to my understanding, it's the finance agreements. I don't think, Mr. Keeler, you don't have any objections to any of these documents.
I haven't had, I just
at
received
least not
it this
at
morning.
This time.
No,
okay. No,
absolutely
I,
not.
No, I, we can work that out, but one issue that I failed to mention earlier because it wasn't in my motion, but it was something that was has raised as a result of a filing that we received yesterday is a declaration of Mr. Rinaldo Junior, who is a DPW employee. That declaration that was filed yesterday.
It's going to be filed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I did. I received a copy of a thank you for the clarification. I received a copy of a declaration from Mr. Rinaldo from the.
All right. So the unfiled declaration. What about it?
Okay. I'm looking for it so I can quote it to you. But basically, he confirms that he recorded the negotiations on his personal cell phone. And that the negotiations, based on the negotiation memorandum, began in about February 2016, 2016. And in that declaration, he confirms that it was kept on his cell phone, but on June 4th, 2016, it got wet, it was damaged, and he threw it away. So the only record, I assume this is his personal phone, because it does not identify with his public. So the government record, part of the procurement record, basically has been thrown away. It's not clear why it was even recorded. It was only a partial taping, according to his declaration, of the negotiations. And my understanding is negotiations took place over a period of time. So this particular tape, which I understand appears to be the only record of the audio, only audio record of a negotiation tape, is now being has been damaged and has been thrown away. And I think that we need to know, we have to have all the communications relating to that issue. So I'll email correspondence between DPW regarding that destruction of that phone or the throwing away of that phone.
But that was his personal phone.
I don't know. It doesn't identify.
It was his personal phone, and it was taping for one day.
And I don't know what the purpose he was taping. Was it?
It's the negotiation record. It's part of the procurement record. That's what the declaration says.
We haven't reviewed it because it hasn't been filed.
Yeah.
But in any event, like I said, I will leave those issues to you and Mr. Keeler, of course, if you can't resolve them. After you receive the documents on the 15th, what do you think is the earliest date, reasonably speaking, that you could file a motion?
I mean, I appreciate accommodation. I think within 5 business days we could do that and file a motion.
Yeah. 22nd. All right. So that puts us to the 22nd. All right, so I'm going to July the 22nd at 5 p.m. Extend the deadline to that date to file any motions. That also applies to the interested party if you want to file any motions.
Thank you.
Likewise, have you entered an appearance, an official appearance of the matter?
I believe they have.
We have. Good. All right, so that would require then, Mr. Keeler, Ms. Tang, anything that you're filing with the OPA, you would also have to serve it upon Mr. Flores and or Mr. Easton. Okay?
Understood.
So the address they provided in their entry of appearance. And the, so 5 p.m. on July the 22nd, that's the deadline for motions. I'm going to give you until July the 27th for replies. Oppositions. I'll put this in the form of a order after hearing. And then, of course, we do have a little bit extra time. We're going to, oppositions will be due on July the 29th. And then replies will be due on August the 5th.
Ms. Tang, we're meeting on the 9th, and hopefully no later than the 10th on TLK.
Right. No problem.
We will hear the motions filed. The motion hearing date will be on August the 11th at 9 a.m. Is that time convenient for the parties?
Can I just raise one more issue, please?
Sure.
All right. So I just want to bring to the just let you know that there's a potential issue that may change the case, the issues that are before this OPA. The issue is really on the $100 million cap issue. As you asked, the public auditor earlier asked Mr. Keeler, the government, about the 7 Sanchez schools and the remaining amounts going to those schools. One of the disturbing documents we found was a letter from Ms. Wompat, dated, Senator Wompat, dated April 13, 2016. And in this letter, and this isn't a procurement record, she states, referring to the two laws, PL 32-120 and 32-121, these laws, while identifying a debt service amount, do not have a cap to its borrowing capacity, which has been interpreted based on some of the correspondence we've seen to exceed $100 million. And this is extremely concerning. And this may be, this is an issue that we are reviewing.
Okay,
and
Tang,
and I just wanted to make sure
it's, I know, hang on, it's,
you're aware of that.
Pre-hearing conference, and we're only talking about the Prince Miller discovery. We don't have any motions concerning that issue. That certainly might be an argument to bring up in a motion or at the actual hearing, perhaps.
Well, and the reason I brought it up is because it wasn't raised earlier because we were not aware of this. We received this in the July 1 procurement record documents, the 3,000 or so documents.
Well, you're going to have to remember that the purpose of the procurement appeal is to basically review de novo the denial of Cortex protest. Now, that was not an issue. With protest or Cortex protest, then that's not really a subject that's properly before the OPA.
Right. And I understand that, and I completely agree with that.
And that's a jurisdictional issue. We either have it, i.e., was raised in a protest somehow, some way, or conceivably part of the argument, or it's not.
I just wanted to give the public auditor a heads up, and so that we could judiciously use the resources of the government and the time.
I understand that. But
so there. I just wanted to let you know that if we review, once we review all the documents, we think that there is a basis, and there should protest 3. We call it would be a protest should be lodged on this basis. We will appropriately do that. But then that we would like to at that point, if it is denied, have that consolidated. But I just want to make sure that this issue is on your radar. That's all it is. I'm not trying to have this issue adjudicated in this appeal, and I understand your jurisdiction concerns, but I think that you should be aware of this issue.
Okay,
and
but
it's,
we are, okay, yeah. Once again, okay, the purpose of this hearing is basically to review de novo DPW's denial of Cortex protest. That's it. All the issues are either in that box and we can hear them. If they're without of the box or they're not part of that initial protest, we don't have the jurisdiction. As all parties, I assume, well know by now. In any event,
just for clarification, what were the public laws again?
It is Public Law 32-120 and 32-121. They are codified at 5 GCA 58D and 58E.
And this was affecting all the financing surrounding
right.
This.
And this is also related to the Calvill Fisher Jacob opinion letter saying that the cap doesn't apply. That we are seeking in the missing documents. Thank you.
So, what can we have your motion, so it's on the document.
Yeah.
When can we actually start this week?
The 18th and 19th are not available, okay, because it's our training. So that it would have to be the 22nd, and then I leave on the 20th. So that
always
could be the 22nd. Okay. Okay. Because we're not available.
All So are the parties available for the formal hearing in this matter on August the 22nd, starting 9 a.m.?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
22nd, 6. All right. So Ms. Fanning, how many witnesses do you think you'll be calling?
It's very difficult to tell at this time. May I have a day to submit that? Oh, if I had to guess.
I'm just looking at time. A day for your case. How long do you think it would take
you
to present
your case
in chief?
It's sort of a,
And I understand it's a construction case, not our first one.
And I'm terrible at estimating, so.
1 day? 2 days? 2 days. Very well.
Thank you.
And Mr. Keeler, how long do you think it will take to present DPW's case in chief?
1 day.
Pardon?
1 day.
1 day.
We have to finish in 3 days because I leave on the 25th. We have to finish.
That's 1 day. Mr. Flores, how long do you think it would, Mr. Easter, how long do you think it would take you to present your case in chief? That's.
I would think I it would be 1 day for us.
1 day.
I would think our case would be concurrent with DPW.
We've heard that before. And it seldom works out that
way,
as much as we'd like it to. So we're looking at having the hearing between, or starting, of course, on August the 22nd, 2016, and proceeding each day until August the 24th.
I leave the next day on the 25th.
And hopefully we'll be able to start at 9 a.m. each day. Are the parties available during that time slot?
Yes.
Very
yes.
Well. All right.
We need you to extend.
So with that date, concurrently or so, or around this contemporaneously, I should say, with the filing of the motions and the oppositions, you'll have the usual scheduling order that'll have your deadlines for your witness list, your exhibit list, of course, and your hearing briefs. Commensurate with that August 22nd date. And that'll be part of a notice of the hearing, okay, notice of formal hearing. So after this, you'll get a order after hearing concerning the motions, and then there'll be a notice of hearing and a scheduling order with the dates for the formal hearing. And let's see here. By the numbers, have the parties engaged in meetings to formulate and simplify your issues?
No, we have not, but I think that we can do that. One of the things that we would like to do is probably to enter into a stipulation regarding facts that are not in dispute and perhaps have agreed upon exhibits, the core documents, such as the RFP, so we don't have different sets floating around and have them numbered. So we can work those out with the parties.
Very good. And, of course, it would help probably expedite the hearing of the case if the parties did have such meetings and see what facts they can stipulate to and what documents there are no issues on. Likewise, in terms of the witnesses, are all the witnesses on island?
They will be.
They will be. Ms. Dang, on your side?
Yes, on our side.
Okay.
Well,
if they're not, I do hope that the parties can agree on how we're going to deal with witnesses that might be off island, that might be testifying, for example, via Skype or FaceTime, so on and so forth.
I think that's certainly something we can discuss.
All right. And in terms of motions, like I said, I'll be submitting the order after hearing setting the motion filing deadline. So, now, are there any special procedures we need to discuss or agree on to manage potentially difficult or protracted actions, complex issues, or unusual proof problems that the parties are aware of at this time?
I'm not aware of any, but, you know, I know we haven't done this before, but I would like to explore the possibility of having a, like a projection monitor, you know, so that...
That's actually been used in this room
before. So I have my own. I have a portable set. Can I bring that in and test that? And
sure.
With no objections?
Yes. Yeah. A range of Llewellyn and Terlahi.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, you want to test it.
Now, likewise, if you're going to do that, that's open to...
Because we've even had white marker boards and whiteboards and all that, so that's not an issue.
I would make it available to opposing parties.
All right, so that's one thing you can agree on, because if you're all going to want to put up your visual argument, so to speak, we have limited space, so it makes no sense to bring three sets of AV equipment in this small room. And I do hope the parties are able to agree on how they're going to pull that off. So we're looking at 3 days. Please try not, as you're planning your case presentation, 3 days is what we've got. That's the existing window. So please plan your cases accordingly. Are there any other matters that may facilitate the just, speedy, and inexpensive disposition of this action?
The only thing I can think of is the possible... we have not made a final determination on the $100 million cap issue and whether a protest should be filed. So as soon as we get the documents that were requested, we will act on that immediately. And of course, if it is responded to by DPW timely, then we would like to consolidate that. I think that's going to be mostly a legal issue, not a factual.
Well, it is the OPA's practice that if we have two different protest appeals that concern really the same procurement, the same parties, nearly the same issues, that would have literally the same witnesses. It is our practice to consolidate those cases, but understand that we are under a short timeline for this particular case. And on that bent, you know, facilitating the just speedy, I do have to advise the parties that one option that you have, I mention it all the time, is if all parties waive their right to a hearing, we would essentially decide the case based on the record filed in it. So that's still an option, but so far the appellant has requested a hearing. Any of the parties, to include the interested party, requested a hearing. We would hold the hearing. So at this time, because a party has requested it, we are going to hold it. Unless you waive. All right, but what that would mean is if the parties waived or all the parties waived, you would have a decision 30 days from now if you did it today, based on the record file. That's just one option.
I appreciate that, but I think that it's important to get all of the evidence, and that evidence will come mostly from the testimony of the
parties. You have a right to a hearing, so if you request it, we're going to hold it. I'm just saying that's another option you have. It's not a mandatory one, but I state that at the pre-hearing conference. Now, does anybody, to the any of the parties' knowledge, is anyone who you know of is going to participate or attend the hearing? Do you know of anyone at this point that may need special accommodations, auxiliary aids, or services to participate or attend the hearing?
None that I'm aware of.
None.
All right. Now, if you have a witness or someone that's coming that requires that type of assistance, please contact Jared Hernandez at the OPA. Are there any other matters that the OPA needs to address at this time?
None.
None? Okay. So this hearing is now concluded, and we are off the record at 9:45. Thank you.
Thank you.